and welcome to the broadcast. Today we continue in our series on These Things Happen. Stay tuned. In our previous program, we were looking at the problem that came along because people rejected their God-given responsibilities. The responsibility is having the duty to deal with something. God gave Moses a responsibility, and he fought God on it, said, I really don't want to do it, or I don't want to do it that way. He ended up in trouble, and the children of Israel, they did the same thing, and they ended up in trouble. Now we're in the local church age, and God's focus now in the last 2,000 years has been on the Gentiles, and the Bible talks about the times and the seasons, and we're living in this dispensation when God's local churches are the things that are at the forefront. Well, the problem is the apostasy has come rolling in because we, like Israel, have rejected our God-given responsibilities. We just don't want to do what God says to do. Israel said, no, we don't want to do it your way. We want to do it like the nations. In our church age, we've done the same thing. We say, no, we don't want to do it God's way. We want to do it like the nations. Well, God has a very simple plan, and that very simple plan includes pastors taking their God-given responsibilities, and that is to teach the whole counsel of God. Oh, we've said, no, we don't want to do that. We just want to preach the smooth things, because if we go preaching the whole counsel of God, some people are going to get upset and leave, and then the offerings will go down. That'd be a good thing if we got rid of the people who don't want to do the truth and follow the word of God. Forget the offerings. God will take care of the offerings. But no, we can't trust God with that. We are going to reject those God-given responsibilities of preaching the whole counsel of God, and we are just going to preach the smooth things. Well, fathers, they're supposed to go home and teach their children, but fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But I know we're too busy for that. We don't have time for that. And so we're going to look today how God responded to the situation there in Israel. Remember, these things happened unto them, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Well, God has always had a remnant, and perhaps if you're listening to this broadcast today, you're part of that remnant where you're saying, I just want to do what God says to do in this wicked age of apostasy. Well, good for you. Here's a message for you. Just keep trusting the Lord.
I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and He gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. I can count on Him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. So just keep trusting your Lord as you walk along. Just keep on trusting your Lord, and He'll give a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, keep right on trusting your Lord. He will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. You can count on Him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, just keep on trusting your Lord. He will never fail.
Well, concerning the situation in Israel back there in the wilderness, the Bible says these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. We not only have it written there what happened when they rejected God's way and wanted to do it their own way, but it's also written what happened after they did that, and this is very important. We're going to look at it beginning today in understanding God's response concerning Israel. At the beginning, a lot of good was done when the kings ruled in Israel, and much good was done when our fundamental movement first began. Now, to understand that, let's go back to 1 Samuel 12 and verse 1, where we read, "And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you, and now, behold, the king walketh with you." Now, God's conditional blessings were there after they chose their king, and hang on to that word, conditional. In 1 Samuel 12, 20 through 25, we read, "And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness," that is, in rejecting God's way and taking a king, "yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people." Now, Samuel also stood with them after they chose their king. It was in this context of Israel's rejection of God's perfect will that Samuel said in verse 13, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king." In verse 13, Samuel goes on to say, "Now therefore behold the king whom ye have chosen, and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you." Now the next word is one of the biggest words in the entire Bible, if ye will fear the Lord, and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. God blessed Israel as they followed his word, and he blessed the leaders of our parachurch ministries as they feared the Lord and served him and obeyed his voice and did not rebel against the commandments of the Lord. Now, I want to make a comparison here. Gypsy Smith. Gypsy Smith did not conduct evangelistic ministries under the authority of a local church. However, he remained doctrinally sound in his preaching and in his associations. Gypsy Smith did not preach false doctrines or fellowship with those who did. Like the psalmist, Gypsy Smith could say, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Psalm 119, verse number 63. The word precept here means the authorized, the things that are authorized by God. Gypsy Smith preached the things that are authorized by God and was a companion of those that did the same thing. And then in recent years, we've had other evangelists come along who could not say, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. For instance, Jack Van Impe, he preached false doctrines and he was a companion of those who preached false doctrines. In his book entitled Heart Disease and the Body of Christ, he called for the unity of all professing Christians. He said, and I quote, let's forget our labels and come together in love. And the Pope has called for that. He went on to say, till I die, I will proclaim nothing but love for all my brothers and sisters in Christ, my Catholic brothers and sisters, Protestant brothers and sisters, Christian, Reformed, Lutheran, I don't care what label you are, unquote. Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible is very plain. It says in 2 John 1, verse number 10, if there come any unto you that bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now, let's consider our fundamental movement. We had no fundamental movement for 2,000 years. Fundamentalism began in the early 1900s. So that means that Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield, John Wesley, Charles Finney, C.H. Spurgeon, Peter, James, John, and Jesus could not have been fundamentalists because the term did not exist then. The word fundamentalism had no entry in the Oxford Dictionary until 1950. The word fundamentalist was not added until 1989 in their second edition. We made a big mistake when we said, nay, but we will have our kings. Like Israel of old, we have had some good kings, some good leaders, and we have had some compromisers who have rejected God's way for their own way, and like Israel, we are paying dearly for that disobedience. Well, Romans chapter 13, verse 11 and 12 says, and that knowing that the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. 2 Timothy 3:1 refers to the conditions of the local church, not the world, but our local churches, in the last days as being perilous. The dictionary meaning of the word perilous is to be exposed to imminent risk or disaster or ruin. The Greek word is used in only one other place describing the danger of those who would associate with a maniac of Gadara in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 28. The reason for the risk of disaster or ruin in our local churches is because of the fact that many of the leaders of our so-called fundamental movement have decided they will not endure sound doctrine, 2 Timothy 4:3. Jesus said, when men slept, the tares were planted. Some of our Christian leaders of today are sound asleep. Some are half asleep. Those that are half asleep see things from a dozy condition and obviously have a very limited discernment of anything that is going on around them. They are like people who wake up in the morning half awake and half asleep trying to figure out what day it is. As a result, they have no ability to discern between the unclean and the clean, as we are commanded to do in Ezekiel 44, verse number 23. Malachi 3:18 refers to God's people coming back to doing things God's way, where we read, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. There never has been a greater need for this than what we face today. It is high time to awake. It is time to return and discern. Many of our so-called fundamental leaders of today are like the priest in Ezekiel's day who refused to listen to God. Ezekiel 22:26 says, "Her priests have violated my law. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean." The spiritual leaders in Ezekiel's day were not rebuked for immoral practices. They were rebuked for refusing to teach the difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed the difference between the unclean and the clean. And so in conclusion, we need to understand that God has a perfect will and he has a permissive will. We go back to the situation in Israel, and at the beginning, much good was done when the kings ruled in Israel, as long as they went with the truth of the Word of God and did things God's way. At the beginning of our fundamental movement, God's people, for the most part, were determined to do things God's way, and so he allowed his permissive will. He blessed those early evangelists, such as Gypsy Smith and men like him, as long as they stuck with the truth. Today, you're going to look a long time to find any of those kind of evangelists. Once again, Ezekiel 22:26 describes our situation today. Our leadership, like the priests in the Old Testament, have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. In our next program, we're going to talk about spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment is not mental discernment. It does not begin in our mind. It begins in our spirit. That is why the Bible speaks of being spiritually discerned rather than mentally discerned in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 14. The Bible says the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit, Romans 8:16, and this is the way and the only way that God gives us directions concerning what he wants us to do, and more importantly, what he wants us to be. We're going to look at this subject, the discernment, spiritual discernment, in our next program. Be sure and tune in.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway, a blessing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. For thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live. O Christ, for thee sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call, follow his leading, and give him my thank you. affection and loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross, living for Jesus through a little while, my dearest treasure, the light of his smile, seeking the lost ones he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to thee.